And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. I want to preach a message tonight called The Quiet Time and Prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that tonight you would please come down and help us. We thank you, Lord, that we can come into your gracious presence. We thank you, Lord, for the perfect word of God that we have, that we can build our lives on. Father, I pray that you'd help us to examine ourselves tonight, to take a good hard look at ourselves and at our private life. And Lord, that if we're not faithful in the ministry of prayer, Lord, we pray that you'd forgive us of this. Help us to be faithful. Help us to develop the discipline of having a daily quiet time, and to add to that a good, meaningful time in prayer. Pray, Lord, that you'd bless this message for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk tonight about prayer, okay? And especially as it relates to the quiet time. So we're talking about, in our series, To Live as Christ, we're talking about the heart and habits of a Bible-believing, faithful Christian. And I have a few quotes here to start this out tonight. The Christian that perseveres in the quiet time grows steadily day by day with the Lord. Christians who fail here often go cold on God and backslide. So it's either going to make you or it's going to break you, this quiet time and this time of prayer. We need to spend time in God's precious word each day. We also need to spend time talking to him. There can be no real progress in a believer's life or in the life of the local church without real prayer. That statement right there needs to sink down into your heart and become a way of thinking for you about your own life and about this church. Nothing will happen with any eternal consequence. Nothing will happen without prayer, either in your own life or in the life of this church. God's fixed it that way. God's fixed it so that his hand will not move. His hand of blessing will not move unless we pray for it to move. Prayer makes the hand of God move. We will accomplish nothing unless we get serious about prayer in this church. Abraham was an excellent, excellent example of this. First of all, he got up early in the morning. Notice that it says, Abraham got up early in the morning. He got up early. We should get up early, too. Amen. I'm talking about personally. It's good to pray when we rise in the morning. It's good to pray before bedtime. To do this, you have to go to bed on time. Amen. You have to be able to go to bed on time. And they say with those cell phones or your TV screens, your flat screen, smart TVs, your tablets that you get, whether they're Apple tablets or doesn't matter what kind of tablet they are, Amazon Fire or whatever they are, they say those things emit a blue light. And that if you watch that 2 hours before bedtime, that'll keep you up at night. It might give you trouble sleeping. And so what they do is they have a setting on there where you can turn it to night shift, to where it's not going to emit that blue light, because they say that actually keeps people from getting to sleep. And if you want to have a real quiet time, a real effective quiet time in prayer with the Lord, you can't do it by going to bed at midnight every night. Amen. You have to be able to rise up early. Then we should pray throughout the day, just as the needs come up. Just like Nehemiah, as he was battling and building the wall, he was famous for sending up these sentence prayers. And we ought to be living on praying ground that at any moment, whatever the need is, whether we need wisdom or whether we're battling a temptation or whether we're discouraged or somebody just texts and say, hey, there's a need here for prayer. I always try to just pray right away whenever I get a text like that. But you can just send up a sentence prayer, just like Nehemiah. And certainly we ought to do that. Certainly we ought to bow our heads before we eat a meal as Christians. That's just a given. We ought to bow our heads and say the blessing. But what I'm getting at here tonight is I'm talking about early morning preparation for your day. Early morning preparation. Take a look at Psalm chapter 5, verse 3. Hold your place there in Genesis, please, and then take a look at Psalms. Chapter 5 and verse number 3. We talk about wanting to reach young people, and this is how we do it. And I'll say more about that on Sunday morning. I think by the time I get done Sunday morning, you'll be absolutely convinced. That's right. We're not going to reach young people unless we do it God's way. Psalm chapter 5 and then verse number 3 says here, "My voice," this is David speaking, "my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." So David prayed in the morning. He said, "Lord, my voice you're going to hear in the morning." Now, God deals outside of time. He dwells outside of time. He dwells in eternity. There are no clocks in eternity. Amen. You don't have to walk into the Lord's throne room and crank up that clock, you know, and set the time right. You don't have to do that. There's no clocks in eternity. But where David lives, he dwells in a place where there's time. And God is there with him in his presence, being omnipresent. And David says, in the morning, you're going to hear my voice. I wonder if you could say that tonight. Could you say that tonight to the Lord and mean it? Say, "Lord, tomorrow morning, you're going to hear my voice. Lord, I'm going to meet with you tomorrow morning before I meet with anybody else. Because you have first place in my life. You have the preeminence." Jesus prayed early in the morning. We read about it in the Gospels, how Jesus went out early in the morning and he prayed. And if Jesus needed to pray before he set about doing the things that he was going to do that day, how much more do we need to pray? Martin Luther, he had a famous quote, "I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer." There's a man who realized that he could get nothing done for God unless it was prayed over first. And we think we're so busy that we could not possibly spend 30 minutes in prayer in the morning. We're so busy with what we have to do for the day. We couldn't possibly do that. We're so busy, we have to do that. If you look at it the way that God looks at it and the way that the thing actually is for a believer, we do this because we need to do it, because we'll accomplish nothing for eternal purposes, and we won't have God's power on our life like we could have on our life if we would pray. And we do this because we need strength for the day. We rise up early and pray as Christians because we need strength for the day. D.L. Moody said, "He who kneels the most stands the best." And E.M. Bounds, I recommend E.M. Bounds, anything he wrote on prayer, I highly recommend him. E.M. Bounds is just one of the most quotable men on prayer that there is. He said, "To be little with God is to be little for God." To be little with God is to be little for God. We need to get up early in the morning and spend time with God. The first hour of the day is the best hour. Secondly, something else we see here from Abraham, the example that he gives us, he had a special place to meet with God. Would you notice that in Genesis 19:27? Abraham, he got up early in the morning to the place where he stood. And by the way, that's the reason why it says "gat" and not "got," because the sentence is he was going to the place. And it's a fuller version of the English language, and it's not so watered down and dumbed down like our language today. It's proper English to say "got up early to the place," because it's not just saying that he got up early. We've dumbed down the English language so much since the 1611. Today we've entered selfie into the dictionary. I heard that selfie went in there and some other words went in there. Next thing that's going to go into the dictionary is probably sulfie. That's the new thing, the slow-mo version of the selfie. How stuck on yourself do you have to be? You know, to be like, "I want it to be slow-mo. I want the rain coming down behind me in slow motion as I take my selfie." You know, man, just stuck on yourself. My goodness, yeah. But he says he got up early to the place. He had a place where he went. You know, that place is mentioned earlier in chapter 18, verse number 22. Remember when the angels came to visit Abraham And they said, we're going to go down there to Sodom and we're going to check it out for the Lord and we're going to destroy Sodom. And so Abraham was talking to him in chapter 18, verse number 22. The men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. You see, he was going with them, and the Lord was talking to these men, these angels, and he's saying, should I tell Abraham about what's going on? And the Lord decided to go ahead and tell him in verse number 20. The Lord says, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now. You see, the Lord's talking to Abraham in that place where Abraham would meet with him, because Abraham had a place. He had a place where he would go. And the Lord met with him and talked with him. I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come up unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And then that's where Abraham started saying, peradventure, Lord, if there's 50 righteous, would you still destroy it? Lord, if there was 40. And he just kept on going and going till he got it down to 10. There wasn't even 10 righteous in there. But that was a place where Abraham went to meet with God, to talk with God, and to let the Lord talk with him. He had a special place where he could be alone in fellowship. And that's another important reason for us to rise up early in the morning and to be alone with the Lord and meet with him before we meet with anybody else, is because we want to have fellowship with him. That fellowship, that strengthens you as a believer. That sets you in a place of mind and of spirit that you're prepared for the things that are going to meet you in the day that follows, as you spend time in fellowship with the Lord. And when we get alone with the Lord in that special place, we shouldn't do all the talking. Listen to this. F.B. Meyer said, prayer means not always doing all the talking, but waiting for him, and I really like this quote, till the dust settles and the stream runs clear. Amen. You remember playing in the creeks and trying to find crawdads and things like that when you were a kid? Remember how clear the stream would look until you ran through it and jumped after one of them crawdads, and then it was all muddy and cloudy and you couldn't see anything? You just had to sit on the hill there and do something else for a while till the water cleared up again, till you could see again. He says you got to sit and just wait before God till the dust settles and the stream runs clear. That's something that we as American Christians were not good at doing. Job's three friends, they came and they sat down and what was it? Was it 7 days that they sat there and didn't say a word to Job while he was mourning and while he was sitting there in pain and cross-legged and covered in sackcloth and ashes? And 7 days they kept quiet. We can't do that, can we? You can't find too many people that really will even go on a car ride with you and sit there quiet as you go down the road. Men are all right. Men are okay. If we just sit and we don't say anything and we go down the road to go do something, we're okay if we don't say anything. They're all right with that. Maybe not some men. But how many times do we really spend just sitting and being still before God? And I'm going to talk about meditating in a minute, what it means biblically to meditate. We don't sit still for much. At least I don't. It's something I have to make myself do. I mean, the beautiful sunny day, the sun's not on the porch, you know, get you a nice glass of tea or lemonade or something like that. Go sit out on the porch, got some rocking chairs out there, a nice comfortable porch swing. And what do? We go out there and sit and look at our cell phone or something. Go out there and sit and talk on the phone and talk to somebody. Because why? Because we have a hard time just sitting and just being quiet and just being with the Lord, thinking about something we've been reading in our Bible, or thinking about how God's been speaking to us, or thinking about the sermon that the pastor preached on Sunday, or thinking about what you're going to do to try to reach your friends. You see, folks, we're so distracted with the things of this world. You got a little time to do something for the Lord. I got a little time, just a little time to do something for the Lord. C.T. Studd said this. He said, I can't remember it. Life is short, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. C.T., missionary to China. Life is short, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Our lives are like this. Your life is like, in the scheme of things, 6,000 B.C., 2,000 A.D., it can't be much longer before the Lord comes back. Your life is like the thickness of one piece of paper. You look back in the annals of history and you look forward as to what's going to happen. Your life is just a little time, just a little space, and the Lord gave it to you to do something for Him. Fact of the matter is we could get a whole lot more done if we didn't try to do everything, but we found something that we can do. And then if we spent time meditating about it, praying about it, seeking God's face, seeking God's wisdom on how to do it, and just spend time learning how to fellowship with God, learning how to be alone with Him, how to be still before Him and see that He is God. But it's a tough thing to do. Here's a few tips. Be wide awake. If you're going to get up early in the morning to have this quiet time, to meet with the Lord for fellowship, to hear from the Lord, from the Word of God, and to speak from Him to Him, be wide awake. Splash some cold water on your face, get a cup of coffee, a hot beverage might be something. You want to have an intelligent quiet time, amen? You don't want to be half in, half out of it. Maybe you want to get up in the morning and just put on your shoes and walk right out the door and take a walk. Whatever it takes for you to get wide awake, but get up when you can be alone and before you meet anybody else, meet with the Lord and be awake for it. If you fall asleep on your knees, try walking around. Abraham stood, didn't he? We read in our verse, Abraham, he got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. So stand on your feet if you find yourself falling asleep or walk around. David lifted up his eyes towards the Lord. Put away distracting objects. Come before Him ready to obey with a cleansed heart. Ready to obey with a cleansed heart. I'm going to preach about this on Sunday morning, so I don't want to give away my illustration, but I just want to read this scripture real quick. Psalm 24 and verse number 3, it says here, it says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation that seek Him, that seek Thy face, O Jacob. So who's going to stand before the Lord? Only those who have a clean hands and a clean heart. And it does you little good to get alone with the Lord in the morning. You might feel good about it religiously. You might feel like you've accomplished something. And you won't have a bad conscience about it. But it does you little good to be before the Lord if you're not there and ready to obey. And if you're not there and with keeping short accounts with God, it does you little good. Thirdly, he had his daily time with the Lord, and it was a daily thing. It's something that he got up early in the morning and he did it every day. It wasn't sporadic. And God will bless stern discipline here in the life of the believer. Remember, we're talking about the disciplines of a godly life. God will bless this. This is where we need to be stern. We need to be disciplined with ourselves. The key to being good at something is to master the basics. Isn't that so? The key to being good at cooking is to know all the basics, to know what temperature you can put sugar in there, you know. And I've been trying to make some of them fried apples like you can get at Cracker Barrel. And I learned that when you put in that butter first and then the apples, and I guess the Granny Smith are the good ones, but I'm going to try the Macintosh too. But I learned that when you put in that brown sugar and the white sugar, you got to get that going a little bit, and you don't want to put in your cinnamon right away. You want to put your cinnamon in after a while because you can burn your cinnamon and ruin the flavor of it. So there's basics. I'm calling my mom, trying to figure out how to do all this stuff. I don't really know how to cook, watching YouTube videos, everything. I'm just trying to learn. But I'm learning there's things that you got to know about cooking. There's just certain things. You got to master the basics to be any good at it. And my sister, my mom's trying to tell me about these things. Don't you know about this? If you're going to be a basketball player, you've got to master the basics. If you're going to play guitar, there's guys that are really good on guitar. You see some of the flashy stuff they did. They didn't get there overnight. They had to learn the basics all along the way. They had to learn the chords, the scales, all of those things that go along with it. If you're going to learn how to paint, if you're going to learn how to do photography, you've got to learn white balancing. You've got to learn how to, just how far you should be from the object that's in front of you and how, in your background and all of those things. You've got to learn lighting. There's just basics that you've just got to master. If you're going to make YouTube videos, there's basics to it that you've got to master. The same is true for the Christian life. You've got to master the basics. Let me ask you a heart-searching question, direct, I'm saying to you. I'm not a wee preacher. I'm talking to me too, but I'm talking to you tonight. I'm not a little wee preacher. Have you mastered the basics? The basics of daily Bible reading, studying your Bible, actually having a meaningful time with the Lord, prayer. It's a sin if you don't have a regular prayer life. Mastering the basics of learning how to witness, learning how to talk to people about the Lord. Mastering the basics of knowing what hinders your prayer life. Mastering the basics of just understanding basically how to study your Bible. Mastering the basics of knowing the difference between when you're being convicted by the Holy Spirit or when you're being dogged by the devil. Because there's a difference. And sometimes they seem like they're the same thing. There's basics in the Christian life. Have you mastered them? Have you mastered this? A consistent, quiet time and a real prayer life with the Lord. You got to master the basics. Thirdly, notice that he did this daily. It wasn't sporadically. And fourth and last, he stood before the Lord. That means he was waiting for him. Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. He was waiting before the Lord. And waiting for God to talk to him. Now, as you put this into practice in your life, and I hope that you do, and as I attempt to do it and to stay faithful at it, remember three words. Three words. Read, meditate, pray. It's just rock solid information. This is it's not my own thoughts. It's just people from past Christian history that have just mastered the basics, and they many men would say the same thing. Read, meditate, pray. That is, when you get up in the morning for your quiet time and you want to see the Lord before you see anybody else, and you make it a point to where it's so important to you, you actually get up in enough time to do it so that you're with the Lord first before you're with anybody else. And you get in your word and you're going through your systematic Bible reading schedule, and you get in there and you find out what your Bible reading is for today. You open that up and you read the Word of God, or however you start your quiet time, start it with reading the Word of God. And if you want to say a little prayer saying, Lord, bless my Bible reading, I do that while I'm looking at the scripture and getting into my Bible. I do that. But you read and then you meditate. This is so important that you just sit there and just soak in it. Just soak in it like a bath. Soak in what you read. Think about it. Did God say something to you? God said something to me the other day, and that's what I'm preaching this Sunday morning. But think about it and just spend time just meditating on it, thinking about what it means to you personally. How did God speak to you? Examining your own life, examining your own heart. What is it that God's really trying to say to you? Think about, can you explain this to somebody else? Think about how you might word it to somebody else. And if you're really a studious person at this, with your notebook, there's just nothing better for actually thinking through what God has just said to your heart than trying to write it out, because that really makes you think about it. And then pray. You say, what am I supposed to pray? Pray about what the Lord just said to you, and then pray his word back to him. I'm going to talk more about that on Sunday morning, but praying his word back to him. You see, he stood before the Lord. He was waiting for the Lord to talk to him. And God speaks to us through his word and speaks to our heart by his spirit. And then we speak back to him in prayer. And what I'm trying to tell you tonight is I'm not trying to lecture you. I'm trying to tell you how to actually have a meaningful quiet time. I'm telling you, it's so sweet. It's so good. It doesn't always happen like this. A lot of times you got to look at your Bible reading like taking vitamins. You take some vitamins that the doctor tells you to take, and they might not have an immediate effect, or you might not feel any different, but the doctor tells you that over time these vitamins are going to help your health. Same thing is true with the Bible reading. You take the Bible like vitamins. Over time, it's going to clean you up, strengthen you. You're going to look back and see where God has brought you from, and you're going to say, I'm so glad that I decided to learn this discipline of Bible reading and prayer with the Lord, and how it prepared me for all the things that I was going to meet. In conclusion, let's let our prayers be simple yet sincere with the Lord. You just talk to the Lord like a child talking to the Father. So when I pray at home, I just say, Heavenly Father, and I just talk to him just like a child talking to his father. It just sounds like if I was talking to somebody else respectfully, but just in my regular language. I don't try to use any fancy words, but oftentimes I'm praying over the scriptures and praying them back to him about what he talked to me about. But how much time do you spend praying for your wife or your husband? Do you know that you should spend more time praying for them than you should spend praying for your kids by far? You should spend more time talking to the Lord about your spouse than you do your kids by far. How much time do you spend praying for your children? How much time do you spend praying for souls, for wisdom, for guidance, for spiritual direction, for our country, for pastors, for churches, for missionaries, for Sunday school teachers? There's so much to pray about. So much to pray about. Let's go ahead and bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you tonight for this message. God, help all of us to examine ourselves.